The travel ban saga continues today with a Hawaii response to last Friday's motion by the Trump administration. The administration asked the Supreme Court to clarify who could enter the country following the court's June 26th opinion, allowing the travel ban to move forward, except for individuals with a bona fide relationship to an American or an institution. This month, Circuit Judge Derek Watson defined the scope of close family relationships to whom the travel ban should not apply. The administration objected, which brings us back to the motion filed on Friday and the Hawaii response filed today. Attorney General Doug Chin joins us now to break it down. Thanks for being here.
That was a very, very good summary already.
Well, thank you. But, you know, there is this idea that if they wanted clarity, why didn't they ask for that in the beginning? And then that would have simply preempted all this back and forth.
Sure. So what happens here is that the Supreme Court comes out with their ruling that says we're going to hear arguments in October. But in the meantime, what we want to do is come up with an equitable balancing act between the two parties. And what we'll do is we'll just say that people who have no connection to the U.S. Can come into the cannot be allowed to come in according to the travel ban. But people who do have a bona fide connection, either through a close family relationship or some sort of refugee association, they can be able to come in. And as you point out, the U.S. government then proceeded to come up with their own guidelines that when they published them, had no input from our side, even though we reached out to them several times. They actually spoke to reporters about what they planned to do before they let us know what their guidelines were going to be. And then when it came out, it was nutty. It said that in-laws are your close family, but your grandparents are not. We don't even know where this what rhyme or reason led to them making the exclusions that they came up with.
And yet somehow they were pointing back to, well, these are the immigration standards.
Right. And so what we pointed out, and actually Judge Watson very eloquently labeled it, was he called it cherry picking. He said what you've done is you've picked certain statutes that fit your definition, and not even perfectly. And then in the meantime, here's about five other statutes that exist within federal law and within the immigration laws in particular that also include close family and use the word close family and use that to include terms like your grandparents or your aunts and uncles. And the reason why this is actually an important issue is because when it actually comes to people who are traveling from these other countries and especially refugees, those people are actually coming from the families where they've lost their parents. And so they've only been raised by a grandparent or by an aunt or an uncle. And we in Hawaii can really understand that because we're all about ohana and understanding that oftentimes we have hanai relatives that bring us in. I'm not at all suggesting that the Supreme Court ruling was saying that we should be allowing any hanai relationship to come in. But we do understand that family is more than just the arbitrary categories that the U.S. government came up with.
And the idea that somehow a fiancé or someone who might enter your life as an adult might be more important than someone who has potentially raised you or known you from childhood seemed to be particularly upsetting. So how do you balance some of this idea that there was some, procedurally improper things being done in the motion or being asked for in the motion, along with sort of the guidance, as you put it, flouts this court's order?
Right. So here we are now with a decision that came out from Judge Watson, and he's the original federal judge that issued the injunction against the travel ban here in Hawaii. And Judge Watson has interpreted the order properly in our minds to include the close family relationships that we were pointing out. And so what the U.S. government has done is that they took Judge Watson's decision and they leapfrogged over the Ninth Circuit to immediately appeal to the Supreme Court and presented a motion that almost looks like a kitchen sink. Like it really is. It's a motion to stay the proceedings below, but also to issue an injunction. It's a writ of mandamus, which is a very extraordinary kind of motion that's brought, and it's also a motion to clarify, almost as if they're inviting some of the justices to just grab on to whatever they can if they want to try to reverse the decision that was made by Judge Watson. And then finally, what they also did is at the exact same time, they filed a backup appeal in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is where they really should go along the way. I realize that as a lawyer, it's obvious to me what all this leapfrogging goes of, but I guess the best way to describe it to laypersons is that they took this decision by Judge Watson and basically threw out just a whole spattering of legal arguments just to try to find a way that hopefully this doesn't happen, but to try to find a way for certain Supreme Court justices to overturn what's been done.
As you mentioned, they look as if they're trying to fire on all cylinders or to choose, shotgun whatever way might bring them to a successful conclusion on their end. But the court didn't ask them for any sort of response to your response. They may file that anyway. Does that further gum up the works? I mean, as we're coming ever closer to the fall when we're supposed to have some definitive answer.
Right. Well, in many ways, what's happening in the next 90 or 80 days now really does matter a lot, because this was the time when studies were supposed to be done, and so this temporary ban was to be taking effect. What we were encouraged by was the fact that the State Department, because of the way Judge Watson had ruled on Friday, just yesterday they put out new guidelines that follow Judge Watson's order. So we appreciate that very much.
Well, if that's happening, doesn't that sort of invalidate the whole purpose of the motion?
Well, I think what they're doing is they're following the court order. If they didn't do that, then they would be held in contempt.
At this point, we're waiting to see what's going to happen with this. But the fact that grandparents were called out and a spotlight put on them, and I realize this is a little tangential, but does this further support the rights of grandparents with grandchildren?
I think there is case law that talks a lot about what grandparents, what sort of rights grandparents have with their grandchildren. We can allude to them a little bit, but I think for the purposes of this decision, what the Supreme Court had said was that what they were really looking for was a bona fide connection to these close family members. And the way I read it, I mean, for what it's worth, was that what they were really going after was bona fide. In other words, they were saying, don't create some sort of fake relationship just for the purposes of getting into the country. Just show us that you have some sort of genuine connection to a U.S. individual and to an entity, and the travel ban won't apply to you. People who have no connection, who can't demonstrate any concrete hardship, those people don't get in. Now, the reality is, here I am, I'm giving you these opinions. We'll find out how the Supreme Court actually feels about these things, perhaps very, very soon. But that is our position.
As we move into the next 80 or 90 days or so, regardless of what happens with this, there are other issues that you've been working on that in some ways have become eclipsed by so much attention on the travel ban. And not saying that that was inappropriate, but there are other things, too, that I know that you've been working on that perhaps we should know about. What specifically would you say that we need to pay a little more attention to?
Just last week, we had two very important arguments in front of the state Hawaii Supreme Court regarding the rail tax, as well as funding for Hawaiian homelands and what's allowed to be funded for them under the Hawaii Constitution. In addition, we're continuing to press forward with charges against people who entice children electronically over the internet through our Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force. And also through the Women's Legislative Caucus, we've been trying to test untested sex assault kits and the backlog that's been involved there. So that's a very exciting development.
The development for that, though, has to do with a public awareness campaign?
That's right. And so we're actually coming out with a public service announcement pretty shortly that's going to be reaching out to victims of sex assaults and letting them know that this is happening, that we don't want to re-traumatize them, but we're really doing this for the purposes of being able to track down offenders.
As always, I wish we had much more time to talk about a lot more of those things in addition to what happened today. Thanks very much
Aloha.
For coming in
Thank
and giving
you so
us
much.
The time. Doug Chin is the Attorney General for the state of Hawaii. A copy of the state's response is on our Facebook page, Hawaii Conversation.